Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
Yes!
Oh, man.
Welcome to Shock Therapy Live!
Dude, it's good to be here.
Oh, good to have you here, buddy.
I look forward to Shock Therapy Live.
Good!
It's kind of fun.
You better! We got some interesting stuff to talk about today!
What do
interesting,
we got?
Interesting stuff to talk about today. Oh, you know, do your kids watch Doc McStuffins?
Yes.
Did you hear us talking about this earlier?
No.
Doc McStuffins, which recently was canceled, actually. Sad news. The doctor is out.
Ooh.
Yeah. Well,
children's show fun.
Yes. Because of that, the scientists were like, "Hey, bro, you're canceling Doc McStuffins." This Anaheim-based company decided to do some research, and they compared two shows, Dr. Oz and Doc McStuffins, to see which one was more scientifically factual. Guess which one was leaps and bounds ahead of the other?
Doc McStuffins.
Yes.
Wow.
Dr. Oz is like this magical pill guy, and so it got us to thinking about, you know, things that we believe, things that we ingest, things that we, you know, are
go-tos. What if they relaunched Doc McStuffins, and she was, like, counseling people and helping them out? Like, Doc McStuffins is a cartoon. And she's just giving people advice.
She's just giving advice, like Dr. Phil or
yeah.
Dr. Oz. Or,
and yeah. She's got like a fat hippo who helps her.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be great.
Gosh, I had a really good one that I just refused to say. Oh, it was so good though, guys. I'll tell you off here. So anyways, yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Just reminded us of like
Dude. Where
we get our material. Always checking the source, taking it back to God's word, because we're ingesting so much stuff in today's culture that is probably not really true.
But like Oprah.
Yep. Yeah. Isn't that Dr. Oz's helper?
Dude,
if I win a car, I'm down.
You win a car?
If you win a car.
Sometimes you go to Oprah and she gives people cars.
That's
and stuff.
True.
Everybody in the audience gets a car.
I saw some kind of funny meme. I forget what it was about why Oprah had stuff hidden under people's seats. And I forget what it was, but I remember it was funny.
It is Shock Therapy Live, our one-hour call-in show focused on you. What you want to talk about? What's going on in your world? And, of course, we will also be talking about what's going on in the culture around us, because we've got some interesting stories to cover, including, man, a crazy, crazy way one dude tried to kick his addiction, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
The extreme measure he went to. Some would say biblical. We'll talk about that coming up, but we want to hear from you, especially. 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. You can also chime in anonymously. We know that there are some sensitive issues with Shock Therapy Live, usually, so if you'd like to keep it anonymous, you can do so.
Mm-hmm.
Studio@mystaticradio.com. That's our email address. It's studio@mystaticradio.com, or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Some pretty effective ways to get in touch with us. But we definitely do like kicking it old school, if you will, and actually having interaction through the telephone. So 505-338-3700.
And we actually even like kicking it super old school and taking snail mail letters, too.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we've gotten those. We have them.
Yeah.
We have them on a giant. Well, not a giant.
Usually
on
from
a really
prison,
small,
but
pinboard.
Prison.
True story.
That
that's
true.
That's pretty cool. That's
yeah.
Pretty
what's
cool.
up with that?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
Let's go out to the phone lines. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Man.
I actually had a question real quick. Just my 5-year-old recently was asking me about telling me. Tell me he likes certain girls, or he thinks girls are beautiful, and, you know, and just all this stuff. And I'm like, as a dad, I'm like, dude, you shouldn't even be thinking about that. You're 5, dude. But it is kind of troubling to me, because it's like, he's already so young and already, like, exposed to that. But I was going to ask, you know, what do you, working with children or with the youth or anything that you guys do, is there any advice you can give me to where I don't want to steer him away to make him think it's a bad thing to like girls? I just don't want them to be thinking about that right now.
Right.
But yeah. With everything that, you know, is out there, it's like, dude, what if I get so nervous and then I get like, I don't know how to, like, it's like, I really don't know what to tell them, man. And it's like, it's good that you like girls that it's not, you shouldn't be thinking about them right now, dude. But,
right.
You know, it's funny. Yeah. We've talked about this before because actually Steve and I both have mm-hmm. kids,
yep.
and you know, we're both boys,
yep.
and we've dealt with this.
Yeah.
And you know, first of all, I think it's natural. I think every kid, you know, my son, even at 3 and 4, he would say things like, that girl, I like that girl. And I was mm-hmm. like, why do you like that girl? Because she's pretty. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay. And then, he, you know, whenever mom and I would kiss, he'd blush. He'd be like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah.
We're like, we're kissing. Well, I want to try. And so I think part of it is natural. Kids, you know, from a young age see this. My son hears me tell Janae that she's beautiful. He hears me tell his sister that she's beautiful. And so he hears these words, and well, he may not completely understand what they mean. He has this compulsion, just being a male, to have those same feelings. And so he doesn't, again, understand, I think, to a certain extent what those mean. So, you know, I'll kiss my wife and I'll say, babe, you're beautiful, I love you. And then he'll come over and say, mom, I want to kiss you because you're my wife. And it's like, well, no, mom's not your wife. And you don't really understand what that means. And I can either overreact and say, that's creepy, that's weird, you know, you're freaking me out. But again, he doesn't understand what it means. And so he's just, yeah. he's, you know, at a very young age, in a very pure way, trying to mimic what dad's doing.
Yeah.
And so I think one big thing with this is, I wouldn't freak out that your son is saying that girls are beautiful, but I right. would limit his exposure to what he is witnessing. Because again, just as my son says that girls are beautiful because he hears dad say that mom's beautiful, or he wants to kiss girls because he sees dad kiss mommy, the exposure that we give to our kids makes them want to enact what they're seeing.
Yep.
And so, I would be very careful with what movies, what TV shows, and what you let your son encounter and what you mm-hmm. expose him to. Because what you expose him to at a young age, that will become in his mind what is normal, what is okay, what is right, and what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And so I would be careful with exposure, but I wouldn't overreact to him saying that a girl is beautiful.
Amen. I agree wholeheartedly. As Nate said, we both have boys, and I've dealt with this well, multiple times already, because mine are 11 and 9, my older ones. And my 11-year-old, I remember when Jack came home, the first time he told me he was in love. He actually used the words, in love. I believe he was like 7 at the time. But he was in love. He met a girl on the playground. On the playground, you know? And he was just kicking it, and he was like, hey, girl. And so he comes home to tell me about this girl.
What if that's really how it happened? Then I'd be creeped out.
I would be,
at 7 cruises up to a girl and is like, hey,
stop
girl.
Stop listening to Belle Biv DeVoe, 7-year-old. I'm just kidding. So you know, I didn't freak out on this one. I, you know, I've had my dad freak out moments where I've had to have some my pastoral friends and just other solid bros around me say, hey, man, this is natural. This is normal. Don't freak out on them. Because, you know, growing up for us, when I was growing up, girls were taboo. Sex was something that you definitely didn't do because it was gross and it was wrong. So save it for the one you truly love.
Did you just say girls were taboo?
Dude, heck yeah. It was bad. It was really bad. So
girls were really bad.
You,
they had cooties.
You don't want to put that mentality in their brains as well. But you also want to be realistic, you know? So it's a very natural thing for boys to feel these certain ways, and all of a sudden hormones and emotions, and, you know, my 7-year-old is all of a sudden in love. And I said, oh, man, this is honestly how I handled it. Now, I will say this. There are no scientific facts or evidences as to how you should handle this and or if you should take this into consideration. But it worked for my son, and I just know my son well enough, and I think as a parent, if you know your son well enough, you probably know how you should be responding to it. All right. Well, awesome. I guess he's going to listen online.
Thank you.
But what I did was I simply told
him. You burnt cigarette butts on
him. I just stop it right now. I said, oh, man, that's so exciting. So, cool. So, I mean, what are you going to, you know, how do you see this going? Like, what's your next step? You know, he's like, I just know that I want to spend my life with this. You know, like, he was just super, I think, because, like you said, seeing dad and mom and just mimicking that. So I was like, dude, right on, man. So, well, here's the thing. We're going to have to talk about where you're going to live, what you're going to do, because obviously if you love her so much, next step, you guys want to start, you know, courting and becoming an item. Then you're going to have to get married. You're going to need to move out. You're going to need a job. You're going to need it sounds like a lot of work and a lot of things. But I mean, if this is what you want to devote your time to, by all means. And he kind of stopped and freaked out. And I said, do you know what it means to truly be in love with someone? And we took it to God's word, of course, and just talked about those words. Because I think a lot of times, as you said, kids hear things and they want to say them, but they don't exactly know what they mean. So if you can just very honestly, openly talk to them about it. My son, thankfully, did not rush out and get a job or get married at 7. So he's still in school. And we've both agreed that maybe for the time being, as long as he's in the home and as long as he is, you know, trekking right along, his focus is school. And my focus is providing for him, you know, and so he's gonna focus on that for now. Yeah. Maybe not so much on being in love with a 7-year-old.
And my focus with my kid is taking him out in the yard for 6 hours a day and punt football so I can make him a professional punter.
It's a good plan.
It's a good goal.
Speaking of professionals this week, this kind of ties in, and it was one thing I wanted to talk about because it's an interesting conversation, and since we are more of a relational type show, and we just had a dad call in talking about relationship with his son this week, did you guys see this quote-unquote controversy with Bill Belichick? The head coach of the New England Patriots. Head coach of the New England Patriots wins the Super Bowl, right? Fourth Super Bowl victory. This is a huge deal. He's in his 60s. Let's see. How old is he? He's what? 62 years old. The coach had his family around him. His 30-year-old daughter was standing by him, and he grabbed her, and he planted a kiss on her lips. And see? Your face says it all. 62-year-old coach leaned in. He kissed his 32-year-old daughter. Now, the kiss lasted a split second. I mean, we're talking the inappropriate kiss. Father kissing his daughter, and the image makes it look like they lingered on like this weird mouth-to-mouth kiss, but it immediately blew up. I'm seriously surprised you guys didn't see this because it was all over everything about how inappropriate it was for a 62-year-old man to kiss his 30-year-old daughter on the lips. And it got me thinking about that, how we are affectionate with our children and what levels of affection there should be. Are there boundaries?
I don't know. My face does that face because I'm creeped out by it.
Do you kiss your children on the lips?
Yeah.
Me too.
I kiss both my kids on
me
the lips.
Me too.
This morning we're laying in bed and Katie comes over and she comes in early in the morning. She sleeps in bed with us and I'm asleep, and she leans over, and she wakes up, and when she sees that I acknowledge that she's awake, she looks at me, and she goes, I love you, Daddy. I love you to moon and back. And then she comes over, and she says, I want to kiss you. And she kisses me on the lips, and just the cutest kiss. And,
right.
And I'm like, I love you so much. And then she just does it again.
Yeah.
And she's so beautiful and so cute.
Right.
And I think as a dad, you always see your kids in that light. You know, I think there's an element where you always see your kids, no matter how old they get and how old you get, as your little baby.
Right.
And so I do the creepy face because it when you see other people do things, even if it's not weird, it sometimes can be weirder than it actually is.
It can be cultural.
From simply just saying, is it okay for a dad to kiss his daughter on the lips? Just from that, I would say yes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's weird, but I can understand how people could freak out at a picture of it.
Dude, it went nuts on Twitter. So they thought they witnessed controversy, incest, there were things being thrown out. Some called it cute, sweet. The majority of people said things like yuck, they were disturbed. I mean, you can go look on Twitter if you want. I don't recommend going and checking it out. Parenting expert and family physician Dr. Deborah Gilboa said, being able to show affection between adult parents and their adult kids is lovely, and it's great if Bill Belichick has such a positive relationship with his daughter. Yahoo News, according to their relationship expert, said this was a moment of jubilation and joy. He's showing affection for someone who is clearly very important to him. That was from family therapist Dr. Paul Hochemeyer.
And that's kind of where I would look at it.
Right.
I don't think there's
he just
anything.
Won the Super Bowl.
Now, I do think it's kind of sad that we live in a culture where kissing your son or your daughter on the lips
is taboo.
Becomes taboo.
Weird,
it's sad that we live in that kind of a culture. And honestly, I think a big part of it probably is the breakdown in the family unit.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of families don't have that kind of affection.
Right.
A lot of families don't have that kind of relationship with one another because they're broken families.
And maybe that's what it is because we're looking at a cultural divide. And so maybe it is like this family divide. I know I'm in my 30s. We just went on vacation with the kids and drove out to Disneyland. And halfway there is Surprise, Arizona, where my mom lives. And I hadn't seen my mom in a while. My mom, she came out, ran outside and grabbed her son, and she gave me a big old kiss on the mouth. And I didn't think it's my mom, of course. But then I know other families where it's like, man, a hug, like a full frontal hug with your parent is weird.
And, it's and like again, I think it really comes down to the kind of affection you witness within your family growing
up.
Because I know some of my friends growing up never saw their parents kiss, ever.
Wow.
Like, they never saw their parents kiss on the lips in front of them. I saw my parents kiss all the time.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where certain times it was like, gross, stop making out in front of me. And I don't think that's bad, though. I think that's good for kids to
Absolutely.
Grow up seeing that mom and dad love each other
yeah.
and letting your kids know that you love them. Again, I know some kids grew up, my dad grew up, not getting a lot of affection from his dad, not seeing probably a lot of affection between his parents. And I think there's some families that grow up that way, and so when they witness affection, they're like, oh, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it's not wrong. What's wrong is that they didn't get to experience that when they were growing up.
Mm.
I think that's what's wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. And it brings it back full circle to, you know, the question we got from the caller about talking to his 5-year-old about love and marriage and the opposite sex. Because truly, you know, it goes back to just being a parent, man. Being there, showing affection, rightly showing affection, and then explaining those boundaries. Because for my boys, they absolutely see and know the affection that I have for my wife. They see it every single day, but they also know that I am in a committed relationship with my wife. This is between a husband and wife. This is the boundaries that God has set forth. Daddy doesn't just go around making out with everybody, you know, like, and so, I definitely think that's it. Your children are going to mimic what they see.
Exactly. And so I think you got to be careful with it. And you know, I think another good thing is to ask questions. When we're watching TV and he says that girl's beautiful, I'll ask him, I'll say, Seth, why is she beautiful? What makes her beautiful?
Yeah.
And you really quickly realize he doesn't understand what beautiful means.
Right.
Because it's like, what makes her beautiful? And he's like, I don't know. I like her. And I was like, okay, you don't understand. So he doesn't understand in his mind what that means.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important for us not to overreact in situations like that, but at the same time to be careful what we expose our children to.
Yeah, I think overreaction at times can lead your children to being on guard.
Yeah.
Because you overreact to something, and chances are maybe next time they don't ask the question. Maybe they guard themselves a little more because it's like, oh, I don't want mom or dad to get upset. I don't want to get mad at me. So maybe this time I just won't say anything.
Exactly.
But that's exactly how it goes with sin too. Oh, you know what? Maybe I'll just keep this one close to me. And I just, you know, I don't want anybody to overreact, freak out on me. So we talk about it regularly. Kind of our go-to at Shock Therapy Live is to become the unshockable listener for your children. Constantly, no matter what, being there for them, but still rightly dividing the word of God in your family unit and being able to have conversations with them. So 505-338-3700. We got a comment/question on topic. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Fantastic.
All right, brother. I just had a quick comment on it. I just think, like, what they're really trying to do is just tarnish man's legacy. Or, you know, it's like every time on the news or you watch SportsCenter, you see the sports magazine, like, you always got something to say about him, or he's doing something wrong.
Yeah.
And they're always trying to throw him in. I think it's just really just that I have nothing to write about.
Sports writers not being able to write about something positive, so they got to just slam Bill Belichick one more time.
Yeah, and it's like the society's so distorted now to where it's like, oh, okay, we have to. We think it's perverted because he kisses his daughter on the mouth in an exciting and emotional moment. It's like, we don't see the purity in it, we just see the perversion.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's just crazy.
Dude, great comment. Thanks for the call. All right.
You know, and I think, too, it's blowing something out of proportion. It's like, he didn't pick his daughter up and, like, make out with her.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Okay, you can freak out if that happens.
If you watch the video versus watching the photos that were displayed, it's a totally different thing. Because the video, it's hey, all right, split second. You know, that's his daughter. You know, but then on Twitter, it was like, boom, photo. And it's just this locked in a moment. And it's like, all right, question. Is that his wife or his daughter? Answer, daughter. Gross. And everybody was freaking out. And I was like, oh, man. And when you look at the photo, it's like, oh, that's his daughter, you know, but then you think about it and in the moment, you just won the Super Bowl.
Now here's a question. This goes in a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Is it okay for a grown man to kiss his son? Because, like, I've kissed my mom on the lips.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'd kiss my dad on the lips.
Come on, dude. Let's call Skip right now. I'm just kidding.
Dude, but
let's
seriously.
Let's make this happen.
Like,
Jesus loves dad kissers. Can you guys make that meme?
Now,
I want
to say, I'm not saying anything was wrong with it.
Right.
But I wouldn't do it.
Now, okay, I'm going to throw out the, like, pity me, somber dad card, because my dad passed away when I was 6 years old. So I'm like, well, I never got to experience that, so I couldn't tell you. But I do know that he used to when I was a child before he died.
Okay, and I think
my father-in-law, yeah. When I see him, he doesn't kiss me on the mouth, but dude, like,
yeah,
hug,
no, no, totally,
he kisses me
my
on
dad,
the cheek
I,
every time
totally.
I see him.
I kiss my dad on the cheek, he kisses me on the
yes.
cheek, but a lip kiss, a dad to son lip kiss.
You'd have to ask somebody who has
Matt,
a dad.
Dad to son lip kiss.
Yep.
What's your take?
Yep. Murray? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You done do that, lip kisses?
Done that ever since I was a kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Boom!
Not so much in recent years.
Maybe
or whatever,
it's a southern thing.
Yeah. I don't know. My family's always been super
hey, son, come give me a big old kiss on the lips.
And I'll tell you right now, Murray came out to visit this last October for Balloon Fiesta, and he was one of the most affectionate, like, the first time I met him, dude picked me up and gave me, like, a bear hug and, like, tickled my ribs, and I felt like a little kid.
Yeah. My family's always
He's
been...
He's one of the raddest...
And then he pulled your shirt up and did belly.
He's done that to me before.
Blowing raspberries on your belly.
No, we've always been super affectionate, and ever since I was a kid. Now, not so much probably recently. It's been more, I guess, a kiss on the cheek or whatever. But if he did, I wouldn't.
Right.
I wouldn't balk.
You wouldn't
at
like
it.
Balk.
Because that's my dad, and I know there's no weirdness there.
Yeah.
I feel if my dad tried to give me a kiss on the lips, I'd go, "What are you doing? get away!"
But you also know your dad, and
you know what. I want you to experiment, okay? I want
no.
you to do this.
I don't want to experiment.
Right.
No.
Next Shock Therapy Live.
I kissed
come back.
My dad and I liked it.
Okay. Well,
you need if you can get Lenny Kravitz
taste
out
of
to
his
play
Carmex
solo.
Chapstick.
Get out.
Carmex.
Gosh.
Good
gosh.
I think the whole thing with the dad and the daughter kiss, somebody's just trying to make a scandal out
yeah,
of something.
Yeah, dude. I was just shocked. It's cool that I was glad that the way that Yahoo covered it. I don't know how everybody covered it, but you saw it everywhere, and instead of Yahoo Sports covering it over here, Yahoo had Yahoo Parenting cover it. And they had their experts come in. They had different doctors come in and go, "Hey, that's affection between a father and a daughter. How dare you, like, try and twist it and make it gross and weird, you know?" And I do think it comes back to the family unit, like what you've seen growing up, how your family is. And I kind of feel bad for that, you know? Like, I on air am totally proud to say, heck yeah, I kiss my kids. I love my kids. Well, I kiss my kids every single day, you know?
Yeah.
Those are my children, and I love them.
Well, and from what I hear, though, and I think we've already addressed it, though, but I think that the issue that people have had with it isn't that a dad kissed his daughter, it's that a dad kissed his grown daughter.
Yeah.
And I think that's more the issue that people have with it. But still, I think we've already covered that. I don't think there's an issue with
that. No, I'm a grown-up. I kiss my mom. Whatever.
Yeah.
Deal with it. Yeah. Shock Therapy Live. And if that's shocking, man, you've obviously never listened to our show before. 505-338-3700, the phone number, or of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. You can also chime in at studio@mystaticradio.com.
Moving from appropriate signs of affection to inappropriate.
Oh, good.
We got an anonymous email. If a friend inappropriately touches a friend because of gay feelings, now the friends aren't speaking. As a Christian, what should be done? Church makes them work together. There is no way to avoid the other.
Church makes them work together.
Huh?
I don't know.
I would love to have more information on this.
Yeah, that's so
it's
weird.
A very vague email.
very vague email, and I'm like, kind of like Jerry Springer, like soap opera material.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. Like, so, I'm not sure. If a friend inappropriately touches a friend because of gay feelings, how does friend one...
And now they're not speaking to each other, but they work together.
But they work together at a church.
That's what it says.
So basically, like, if somebody inappropriately touches you, how do you handle
it? It would be like if you inappropriately touched Matt because you were, like, having some gay feelings.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, we work together every day, and it's worked out pretty well, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
We just had to talk about it that one time. I don't know!
I guess go see HR, right?
That was my first thought, was like, well, if you felt it was inappropriate, has there been a conversation about said inappropriateness? Because it's like, inappropriate touching, now we're not talking.
And what does inappropriate mean?
Right.
Like, your buddy hugged you, or your buddy, like, you were sitting in church, and he, like, gave you a little inner thigh grab, and you're like,
and you're like, whoa,
dude,
hey,
dude,
bro.
This isn't, we're not going over, like, the Old Testament oath making. Like, we're in the New Testament right now. That's inappropriate.
Oath making. Is that what they did? They grabbed the thigh?
The inner thigh.
Promise you guys.
Yeah.
Good grief.
The only time it's okay to touch a dude's inner thigh is when you're making an oath.
When you're making a promise to him.
Listen, and you're staring in their eyes and saying, this I promise
I
you.
I promise you I'll never die.
With Backstreet Boys theme music in the background.
This I promise you. Yeah. So to the emailer, I guess this is too vague.
Yeah, it's a very vague question.
I'd go talk to your pastors.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you guys both work at a church, say, hey, I need to talk to somebody about this.
Yeah, feeling like you're forced to work together. Maybe part of it is
again,
this.
What does inappropriate mean? Like, your buddy might be like, dude, I wasn't touching you inappropriately. I was just giving you a hug, man.
And if you're worried that's destroying the relationship, you have none because you're not talking to each other. So what's the worst that could happen if you actually decided to communicate and discuss the issue?
Yeah. We had a phone call, but they hung up.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. Okay. We're talking about appropriate and inappropriate actions. I got something.
Okay.
Running back here.
He's got a story.
Yeah. We talk about appropriate lines and inappropriate lines regularly on Shock Therapy Live. We also talk about sin, how to tackle sin, how to break cycles. And I saw this and was like blown away because we know God's word, right? If our right hand causes us to stumble, what are we supposed to do, Pastor?
Cut it off.
Cut it off!
Yeah, with a machete.
Now we talk about...
Don't do that.
We talk about taking that literally or figuratively, what that scripture means, and this is why it is the importance of Doc McStuffins versus Dr. Oz, finding out like what God's word really has to say versus a pastor telling you, no, bro, cut it off. In China, a Chinese teenager was rushed to the hospital after chopping off his hand.
Oh, my goodness.
In a desperate attempt to cure his addiction to the internet. This is a real story that came out this week. This happened this week.
I feel like stuff like this only happens in China.
In China, there are currently an estimated 24 million young quote-unquote web junkies in China, according to the official estimates, and a growing number of clinics and military-style boot camps designed to rehabilitate, not porn. This isn't porn.
No,
this is internet addiction.
It's a huge issue.
This is, yeah.
Like, that's why I say this stuff only happens in China. You hear about, like, kids dying because they play video games and they don't eat. That stuff happens in China.
Well, this kid was dedicated
people get
to
married,
the cause, man.
People get married when they meet each other in video games in China. That doesn't happen anywhere else.
19-year-old from the city of Nantong in Jiangsu province took drastic measure of his own, hacked off his left hand.
Wow.
Yeah. According to a report, they said, quote, we cannot accept what has happened. It was completely out of the blue. He was a smart boy. That came from his mother. She declined to be identified. She said she'd gone to her son's bedroom around 11 p.m. Yesterday, only find that he had disappeared. She found a handwritten note on the bed in which he should have been sleeping.
Which hand wrote the note?
He said, Mom, I have gone to the hospital for a while, it read. Don't worry, I will definitely come back this evening. Gosh, dude. By then, her son, who was identified only as...
She found a handwritten note who was really just his hand.
Oh. His nickname, I'm not joking, this is real life, Little Wang. He had already smuggled a kitchen knife from their home and snuck out safely out of sight. He severed his
this
left
has to be
hand.
Made up. This story has to be
dude,
made up.
Look
there's
it up.
Too many.
I'm staring at it.
There's too many things. There's too many things in this story that make it fake.
Nope.
Doug, is this fake?
Doug. That according to the Telegraph in the United Kingdom, which the Telegraph, they, you know, that's a reputable news source. There
Wait,
really
no,
is.
No, I thought the Telegraph, I thought the Telegraph was the...
No, that's the Guardian.
That's the Guardian. The Guardian. Oh.
You're thinking of the Guardian.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, I think this is legit.
Gosh, dude. Yeah, local television broadcast the gory images of a bloodstained bench on which the boy had reportedly been sitting when he cut his hand off. He severed his left hand at the wrist. He then called a taxi to take him to a nearby A&E and left the hand lying on the ground.
Wow. Here's the thing. He might have been smart, but he was definitely crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Normal people don't do that.
Gosh, dude.
I think that you've got to, you know, in order to do something like that, you've got to have some kind of a mental issue going on to do that. It's not a rational thought, and it's not something that a rational person, you know, does.
Well, there's, man, I see two sides to this. Obviously, this is crazy and insane, and yet we talk about the severity of sin regularly, and there are times where Scripture tells us we have to flee. Right? There are temptations, there are sins, there are things, you know, if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off, and people go, okay, well, I guess I'm gonna, but he cut the left one off, so he wasn't taking it super literally.
And there's also no reference in that news story that he did it because he was a Christian and he said the Bible.
No, absolutely not.
He just decided to cut his freaking hand off.
It was like, I have to take drastic measure because this is destroying my life. And sometimes
it's like a guy deciding to take a samurai sword into Taco Bell.
Right.
It's not normal.
Or sometimes we just need to, I don't know, talk to somebody. Surgeons at the local university hospital.
And not in a chat room.
Did manage to reattach the hand after it was recovered by the police. They do not guarantee full mobility will return. One of the boy's teachers, who didn't want to be named, blamed his actions on an internet addiction, which has made him impetuous, they said. Man, China boasts 649 million internet users, and they are in the midst of a major online addiction epidemic. That story
should have read, the doctors managed to hook his hand up and maintain use of his pointer finger to click, to which he woke up and said, crap.
Yeah, most people, including Mr. Tao.
Yeah, an army psychologist.
Yes, an army psychologist said, I heard about the young man who chopped off his hand. I fear he will become addicted again. That's the thing. Sometimes we believe we have to take these drastic measures, not because the Lord is telling us to, but we're like, dude, I gotta do this right now. This is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to rationally think about this. But it doesn't take care of the heart. Which is where the core issue is. We don't take care of the inside. We just want to, like, outwardly fix this.
So you're saying
quickly.
He should have cut out his heart.
Okay, well.
Yes, that is what he's saying. Steve-O, how much bad advice have you given me?
I'm just going to go.
No, I think this is important, though, because sometimes in my past I've made, like, crazy rash decisions about trying to, like, oh, no, this is tripping me up. I'm going to eliminate everything, you know, and especially if it involved, like, another person.
Mm-hmm.
You
cut them out of your life.
Cut them out.
You
totally
again,
cut them out.
Man.
I had a buddy when I was in high school, and we used to run around doing, like, vandalism stuff. And all this dumb stuff. And I got super, super convicted about it at one point. Went on a mission trip and had like this experience, this spiritual, you know, thing. And I knew I needed to change some stuff. And instead of going home and handling it like a human, like a person,
right,
recognizing that my best friend was another person, I just cut him off and quit talking to him completely.
Right.
Completely
right.
Quit talking to him. And then just took my place in the youth group, you know, as one of the leaders and blah, blah, blah. And we totally lost contact. And I understand that you have to do that to a degree. You have to take yourself out of the situation. But my problem was I totally just eliminated my best friend from existence. Mm. And I'm talking my best friend since I was like 4 years old. My best friend.
Yeah.
The person who knew the best and worst of me.
Yeah.
You know, that close. And when I was, I'll never forget, when I was a freshman in college, I went back for a Bible study. I went home for the weekend. And he was there. And I totally felt compelled to apologize to him from just excising him from my life.
Right.
It was like I had taken an X-Acto knife and cut him out of my life entirely.
Right.
And I totally,
for years...
because
they remind you of the sin.
Yeah, like, I carried that guilt.
Yeah.
Carried it, acted like it was totally cool, that I had done the right thing, and was so... The problem was, I had done the right thing, and to a degree, I had gotten out of the situation that kept causing me to sin. Mm-hmm. Took myself out of that situation. But I totally, like, overreacted. We didn't have a conversation. I didn't tell him why I needed to hang out. I just cut him out and dropped him.
Yeah.
And then here I was years later, compelled by the Holy Spirit to apologize and say, hey, what I did was wrong.
Yeah.
Because then, and not to say that he wouldn't have done this anyway, but just I would hear about how bad things got for him. He didn't have anybody to hang out with. And he started hanging out with these other dudes and got really into drugs. And I don't think that he got into drugs because I cut his friendship out, because that was his decision. And things were already heading that way anyway. Like, we had gotten to a point to where we didn't really agree on anything. But I handled that incorrectly. Yeah. I really think I did, because it wasn't, I didn't treat him like a person. I treated him like a problem.
And I mean, man, we keep coming back to this very vital series here at Calvary right now, Jesus Loves People, and I think it speaks volumes to that, because we put people, we categorize them as the little pyro. Oh, that's the guy in junior high who gave me weed for the first time, you know? And instead of going back and saying, man, there is another way. God is so good. And sharing what we have discovered, we just completely run away and cut it out. I did the exact same thing. Man, I did the exact same thing. And there are certain degrees, again, because I know many of people who, when they got saved, they burned their DVD collection and their CDs, because it was like, that's causing them to stumble. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, cutting out all those friends and never even once going, man, you know, I found Jesus and now I'm better than you. That's essentially what you're saying.
And that's what it looked like. It looked like I had this huge conversion and I had eliminated him from my life because he wasn't as good as me anymore.
Yeah.
And we talked about it. Like, I know that's what it looked like to him, because that's how he said he felt.
Yeah.
And then going back and looking at it, like, his story, and this is something that I love about Jesus Loves People right now, because Skip's totally talking about how we have to remember that that other person has a story that we don't know.
Yep.
And his story was that his home life was falling apart. Yeah. Anytime I would come over and hang out, it was fine. Even then, sometimes his parents would get in shouting matches, even with me there. So imagine what it was like when I wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, the family was falling apart, and then all of a sudden, I just cut him out of my life and went to go play Super Christian in the youth group.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And be careful with what I'm saying, because I'm not telling you, you know, to not get out of the situation.
Right.
But we can't, like, just treat people like problems.
Right.
I should have had a conversation with him. I should have said, I've got to quit doing this, and I want you to quit. I want us to both quit doing this. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Because it's his decision anyway. And I really wish I could have gone back and handled it like that. But I'll tell you what, it was like a giant weight that I didn't even know I was carrying was lifted off of me when we finally had a conversation years later.
Yeah.
And I got to genuinely apologize for the way I had treated him, because I made him into less than a person. I made him a problem, and that was it.
Yeah.
And when we do that, you know, that's not what Christ did. He took every person that he encountered, you know, individually and spoke to that person. He didn't speak to the problem that they were dealing with. He spoke to them.
Man, we all have these stories, and I think a lot of times we look at ourselves as the main character in a movie or a play or a comic book, whatever it is, and everyone else around us are just bit players.
Yeah,
and
I'm guilty of that.
We're not the main character of our story. Jesus is. And I think when we follow Christ, man, if that hasn't hit, if you have not realized that you're not the main character, that you're just a bit part in his story, man, there's something definitely wrong, because I think we treat people like just a character, and we forget that they are human beings who have a soul, who have emotions, who have stories, who have problems, and we treat them like characters, and man, gosh, so much wrong can be done in the name of Jesus. And it's sad. It's so sad.
It really is. And I think, you know, if you're going to cut someone off because they're causing you to sin or causing you to stumble, at least have a conversation with them about why.
Mm-hmm.
At least sit down with them and say, hey, you know, I feel like this relationship right now, this friendship is toxic. It's causing me, it might not be your fault, but it's causing me to sin and fall into sin. And so, as much as I love you, I think for a time I need to sever this relationship so that I can focus on my relationship with God.
Yeah.
And I think if you're going to have a conversation, at least talk to them and let them know why. Mm-hmm. Don't just stop talking to them or you know, unfriend them on Facebook and cut them off.
Yeah, dude. It is Shock Therapy Live. Pastor Nate Heitzig joining us in studio. If you have a question for us, 505-338-3700 is the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, we do get those. We will respect your... Say it, Teo. I never say it right.
Privacy?
Anonymity. Anonymity. Thank you, Nate.
Yes.
We'll respect that thing right there. And so if you'd like to send us an anonymous email, you can do so. studio@mystaticradio.com. That's studio@mystaticradio.com. Or, of course, facebook.com/mystaticradio. That's crazy. I'm sorry. I'm so distracted by the story that we just got.
Doug sent me a story tying in with the Chinese teenager that cut his hand off. This guy, he's a businessman who ripped out a man's heart and ate it to prove he was not gay. Has apologized to victim's family and admits he, quote, exceeded the boundaries of self-defense.
This is a real story. Gosh. As we talk about extremes.
Yeah.
Man. There is such a danger in our society to go to that extreme, believing that that is going to solve that immediate problem when we are called to love God with all our heart, with all of our mind, because we got to use our brain sometimes. I think a lot of times we just check out. We just check out and go, this seems right. This seems rational.
Right.
When obviously it is very much so not. So, yeah. Yeah. There you go. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. Dude, let's talk. Okay, week three coming up. Can we preview, as we've been talking, JesusLovesPeople.com? Can we preview what to expect maybe for this coming week?
Yeah, so this coming weekend we're doing Jesus Loves the Broken.
Wow.
And so we're really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a great study
as we
just look at this fact that Jesus loves broken people. And I think that that's huge because I think a lot of people might say, you know, look, I'm not... a terrorist. I'm not an addict. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a criminal. I'm just broken. Yeah. And you know, how do I deal with that? And so we're going to look at that concept. And I think a big thing that we're going to look at too within this is that a lot of people who are stuck in sin because of a broken brokenness that they've experienced at some point in their life.
Yeah.
Either the lack of love from a mom or a dad, or being abused as a child, whatever it is. I think a lot of people have brokenness. And that's one thing that we're really focusing on in this series is that I think sometimes when someone comes to us stuck in sin, we focus more on where they're at rather than where they've been.
Yeah.
And I think it's huge for us to look at where they've been, look at where they've come from, and look at their story, not just today, but their story yesterday, and see who they are and what's happened to them. And so I think that it's going to be a really great message as we look at this topic. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely. A hot word of late on Static Radio, and it just seems like it's been out and about more and more. It seems we've been talking a lot about depression.
Yeah.
And within the Christian culture, if you will, within the Christian circles, depression.
It's huge,
and
man.
I was reading just this morning, I have a devotion from Paul David Tripp that I've been rocking through this year, New Morning Mercies, I believe it's called, and that was exactly what he was talking about today, was Psalm 42, and how whether we believe it or not, whether we know it or not, are probably, you know, we listen to so many different preachers, so many different pastors, so many different influences, and yet, without realizing it, we preach to ourselves more than anyone else in the world, inside our own mind, inside our own thoughts. And what are we preaching to ourselves? Are we preaching fear and despair and hostility and anger and sadness and this, man, this depression that can overtake? We are constantly talking to ourselves about who we are, who we are in God. God, who we are in our marriage, who we are to our kids, are we telling, what are we sharing within our own thoughts, within our own minds, and is it a message of hope and love and joy and completeness in Christ? And today we took it to Psalm 42 because guess what? Even King David, who was a man after God's own heart, is I mean, it is a depressing psalm.
Yeah.
It is a cry. It is a straight, he would be clinically depressed according to science or to doctors today.
Yep.
They would have given him some pills and said, dude, you got to calm down because this is crazy, because he was crying out. And yet so many Christians say, well, I've got the joy down in my heart, so I've got to be happy all the time. I can't express this. And you kind of, as we were talking earlier, harbor that sin. You keep it close to your chest because you don't want to let anyone in on the fact that maybe you're not as happy as you thought you were. Maybe mm-hmm. you don't feel as complete as you thought you should by giving your life to Christ. And you know, it's like, wait, Jesus said his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Why am I so depressed about my situation with this child or with my marriage or with my job or with a relationship or whatever it may be at school? Or man, there are so many things, which I think is another reason why we have this show.
Yeah.
You know, because whether or not we want to talk about it, man, we as Christians deal with depression. We deal with bad days. We deal with broken homes. We deal with broken marriages. We deal with kids who don't always do what they're told to do. With
yeah.
coworkers who don't like you. With, you know, whatever it is. A boss who is hard, or whatever your situation is. A car that's constantly breaking. It doesn't matter what it is. But to be able to talk about them and go, hey, man, I'm dealing with this thing. Where can I turn? And of course, the true answer is always, man, God, his word,
yep.
and fill your mind with those things, because we fill our mind 24/7 with ourselves. We're talking to ourselves. I'm in my brain constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I, this morning, as I was reading that, I realized, man, I am constantly in my brain. I am constantly talking to myself. And what am I really saying to myself? So
yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, it ties in so well with the message and the topic we did last week at Jesus Loves People, and that was Jesus Loves Doubters.
Yes.
You know, I think doubting and feeling depressed and feeling broken, it's part and parcel to being human.
Right.
And to struggling with this dichotomy of trusting in Christ but experiencing pain, experiencing mm-hmm. sadness. And how do you reconcile that? And I think that a lot of times, and again, this just falls into this series, a lot of times Christians can look at a depressed and broken person and say, you know, everything in life, no matter what it is, give thanks and rejoice in everything, and turn that frown upside down, and you know,
man.
Jesus died so that you wouldn't have to cry. And so it's like, I think that we somehow, you know, relate as believers a lot of times this judgmental response to people's pain.
Right.
And again, I think the series has been great because we've been looking at both how much Jesus loves people and at the same time how little the church does at times and how we can do a better job at that. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I'm excited about this upcoming message, not just for those who are broken, but for those who have a hard time showing sympathy to people who are broken.
Yeah, let's be honest. You know, at church, it's the one person that's going to come your way, and you don't want to ask them how their day is because you know it's bad, mm. right? And we just write it off. We don't want to talk to those
hey,
people.
Speaking of that, Nate.
Yes.
I figured out yesterday that my resting face, you know, you hear people talk about resting face. Some people have mean face.
Yeah, you
and
can't
some people,
say that on air.
Yes. My resting face is sad face.
You what? Have resting sad face?
This is how I know. When we do our staff devotional, I have 5 or 6 people come up to me every week and ask me if I'm okay. And I'm always like, yeah, what are you talking about?
That's funny.
Every week. So I don't know, like,
don't
maybe
think,
if you
think...
guys, if you guys look over and you see me, just give me a signal or something so I can just start going. This is a big smile.
I find that when I'm thinking about stuff, I have like, I think people think that I have a sad face because
well,
like when
yeah.
I think, when I'm thinking,
yeah.
people are always like, hey, are you okay today?
It just hurts you to think.
Yeah.
So.
And don't tell Steve Ryman
apparently.
Because then Steve Ryman will ask you every time he sees you if you're
yeah.
okay. Cause that's,
well, no, okay.
You okay.
I think part of it has to do with the fact that all three of us are very much so like, extroverts, we're loud,
so when
and
we're
we can be
not
obnoxious.
Like that, people think
so when
wrong.
We're not like, hey, I'm obnoxious and in your face,
yeah.
it's like, oh man, something's
that's
wrong,
true.
And you're like, No,
I find it's certain days is when I get it the most, because like Tuesday for me is a meeting day where I have so many meetings and I'm creating so much stuff in my mind and so I'm like constantly moving that I hit a point at about 3 o'clock where my mind is mush and I am of no use to anybody. Literally, I feel bad because my last meeting of the day is Worship Creative, and I always go into that meeting and I'm like, guys, I'm sorry, but I've got nothing left for you. So does anyone have any ideas or something to talk about? Because I got nothing.
You should reschedule.
And so it's like, I'm just shot by the end of the day. And that's always the hour when people are like, hey, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just tired.
I think that's another reason why we have to, I mean, we could talk practically about this, digging into God's word. Some days, if I don't dig in, like, first thing, if I am not... every day, I'm not disciplined, like every morning, first thing in the morning. If I don't, like this morning, I was able to get up early. I was able to read my devotion. I was able to dig into, Psalm 42. I was able to spend time in the Word. I know if I don't, like you, by 3 o'clock, as it gets later and later in the day, the chances of me cracking open my Bible where I need to be because I need to be refueled and refilled,
It goes way down.
Wow. And then next thing I know, my prayer life is consisting of praying with my children before bed. Mm-hmm. I've had those days. I think we've all had those days, because if we're not disciplined, if we're not constantly refilling in the morning, truly, like when we're at our freshest, good luck 4 p.m. Good luck 7 p.m. Mm. I just know that it's not, which is why practically speaking, we've got to get that like routine, that regimen going, if you will, because when you're not constantly in that, you're going to be getting it everywhere else in the world, whether it's a situation at work, as we said, or family or whatever. It could be something as simple. I mean, right now, Brody's not feeling well. He's sick. I got to get to a doctor's appointment today. That my mind is already just transfixed on that. So my day is shot. So sometimes it can be things out of our control, and we just, what are we putting our focus on? What are we putting our mind on? And what is consuming us? Because if it's not the Lord, man, we in trouble. 505-338.
You just went gangster.
I did, yo. 338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If you'd like to chime in, hang out with us.
We don't want to just think about stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
So call us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're just going to stop the show.
I don't know. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I thought we had an email, but...
No. We got an email.
I don't want to do this.
Okay. He got some mail. He got some mail.
I'm not reading this out loud.
No, you don't.
What is it?
Nate, the other day, I got an email.
This is sweet. Come on.
I got an email from somebody who has to do a report in school, and they have to interview a, quote, Christian celebrity, and they picked me. Number one, I just want to say, hey, you really, really need to raise your standard on celebrity, kiddo.
Huge, but anyway, huge fan.
So I just got a follow-up email.
That's awesome. Hey, man, that's good. That should.
What's it say?
All right. So interview. First, thank you so much for agreeing to let me interview you. I really appreciate you helping me pass this class. So if you want to meet for lunch, maybe Thursday or Friday, you can come to the school.
No, tell him he has to take you to sushi.
One she.
Tell her.
Yeah, maybe not. Shock Therapy Live. I'm thinking no.
No, let me continue, guys. Let me continue. If you want to meet for lunch, maybe Thursday or Friday, you can come to the school and I can offer you pizza. Dion's also serves salad if you insist on this diet idea. I'm doing a stupid diet right now. And
she
we can
knows
eat and talk.
It.
Oh, everybody knows it. I complain so much about it. Or if you prefer, we can meet this weekend wherever. Have a nice day, and if you meet any dinosaurs, feel free to bring them as well. Just saying, thank you for everything.
Dinosaurs? What does that mean?
I love dinosaurs. Adriana, the fangirly freshman. Haha, I'm proud of my pun. Don't judge me.
Amazing. There you go. Shout out. Shout out.
Fangirly Freshman 15. That was the first name of our band.
So why is that in the Shock Therapy Live emails?
No, that just came in the inbox, and I thought it was going to be a Shock Therapy Live, and it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Oh, it's just...
They come to the inbox first, and then we
have
to... Was
that like a humble brag? Was that a humble brag? It's like, oh, hey, I got a Shock Therapy Live question here. You start eating sorry. I read the wrong one.
Yeah, you can think that. That's
humble
fine.
Brag.
It wasn't, but that's fine if you think that.
Amazing. Man, if you missed any part of Shock Therapy Live, make sure you check out the podcast, mystaticradio.com. It's been a heavy show, it feels like.
It's been a heavy show. Guys, we were short on emails this week, so don't forget, you can email us anytime.
I just realized I'm playing the outro to our morning show.
Oh, so we'll stop this one and
start the outro. Stop that.
But yeah,
stop
for real, feel free to email anytime, anytime day or night. You can just put Shock Therapy Live in the subject, and we will put it in the Shock Therapy Live folder, so we got plenty of emails.
Yeah.
Or like ditch school or work and call us.
Wow.
That's a good idea, too.
It's always better when we can get phone calls because it feels like we're able to handle more. Take it well. Whatever.
If you're driving, don't call us.
Yeah, do not call us. We're trying to abide by the laws of the land.
Did you guys hear there was a hit and run the other night on the freeway?
Gosh, wasn't it last night?
Yeah, it was last night.
It was a police officer on a motorcycle, and the car took off. So be praying for the
police
officer.
Dude, they closed down I-40 for like 4 hours.
Wow. Last we heard, he was in critical condition. That, according to Action 7 News, KOAT,
apparently a four-door red sedan is what hit him. They're still looking
for
the sedan.
Really? Wow. Okay. Four-door red sedan. Okay. There you go.
It's intense.
We'll keep that... hopefully on your hearts and your minds, because that was just
heartbreaking, man.
Absolutely.
Dude, crazy news stories right now. We should have talked more about that. You know, the Jordanian pilot and crazy week. Be safe.
Absolutely. If you missed any part of the show, download the podcast. mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. If we weren't able to get to your question, check out the archives. We have talked about a lot of things, or, hey, send us an email, studio@mystaticradio.com. We do this week in, week out, and it wouldn't be a show without everybody who chimes in. So thanks for the phone calls and the emails today. And again, hey, if you're a dad, you go kiss your grown-up kid right now. Right now! Talking to you, Skip.
Don't kiss me.
Kiss him.
I'll run away.
We'll keep you apprised of the situation as we get more news.
No, we won't.
No? Okay, all right.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.